League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Dell, being joined right now by the best analyst in any sport, Jeff Van Gundy, with us, and also an unbelievable coach. What he did to get USA Basketball qualified for the World Cup with us here on ESPN 97.5. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. It sounds right. John and Lance, again, I like it.
You like that?
Yeah, it sounds good. Sounds right.
It does. Yep. It's all good, Coach. We appreciate you. So tell us about coaching this dream team that you had. Nothing to it. How many guys, Coach, did you have over these games to qualify? How many different players did you have?
Yeah, well, it started not this past summer, but the summer before. And so it's been like a 16-month process, and we actually have two more games, but thankfully they don't have meaning for us to get qualified. So we've had, I think right now, nearly 50 different players that have played for us due to, you know, just the revolving nature of the minor leagues and, you know, just ever-changing plans and rosters and guys going overseas to play or getting maybe a call-up into the NBA or a two-way player, because we couldn't use anybody that was a two-way contract player or any NBA player, except for this past September we got to use a couple lightly used NBA players. So it's been interesting, and I've really grown in my respect for the G League player. That's been probably the best part of the experience, is getting to know these guys and having such respect for their grit and perseverance through incredible challenges and frustrations of their career, because they either want to get back into the NBA or they want to get into the NBA for the first time.
Well, you know, I guess you could look at a guy like Patrick Beverley, and why I don't know if he played in the G League. We know he played internationally. These are guys who there's no entitlement. If you're trying to get there from the G League, it's certainly not the easy way. And much like minor league baseball, I mean, that's the hard way up. Oh, no, go ahead, Coach. I think you're going to say something about G League.
No, I was just going to say that I think, you know, for fans of basketball, you don't really realize how good these guys are. Just because they're not in the NBA right now doesn't mean they couldn't be in the NBA. I think through my experiences with USA Basketball and my time coaching in the NBA, positions on teams from 11 to 15, they're highly interchangeable. And it goes to basic needs and maybe a guy that you like better than another guy, but there's very little separation. And so you think about it from these minor league player standpoint, they can honestly say they're just as good as a lot of players in the NBA, and yet the financial differences are so vast. You know, a G League player this year, they got their salary boosted up to $35,000 a year. I mean, it was at 24, I think. And so, you know, a minimum in the NBA or a two-way contract in the NBA, you're making a couple hundred thousand. And, you know, the drop from that to 35,000 and the drop in prestige is so great that I don't think people realize so much of finally making it is not being overwhelmed by frustration, disappointment, and where it sucks the joy out of the game for you.
Coach Jeff Van Gundy with us. He is a coach because he is with the USA World Cup qualifying team. So I read that you said some coaches, some teams, some agents, some G League organizations were very helpful, some not so much. Who are some of the more helpful that you dealt with in terms of helping you put together whatever you've had to put together in this revolving door of a team?
Well, in particular, the Rockets, Gerson Rojas, their assistant general manager, incredibly helpful. not only in identifying players that we should look at, but helpful in talking up the process to agents, to other teams. You know, the Miami Heat, Dan Craig was incredibly helpful, one of their assistants. And so, but thankfully, we had a number of people that really looked out for us because, as in any sport, you have to be able to put together a reasonable roster. It's hard enough when you're dealing with the fluidity of the G League and overseas and all that sort of stuff to be able to put together a roster. If you didn't have the help of some of these people, some of these agents, some of these teams, you would have no chance to put together a roster that could qualify. Because, I don't think people realize when you go on the road to Argentina, you go on the road to Uruguay, our players in many cases are facing, you know, full houses, 12, 11,000 people, really good teams, really good coaches. And these are the most significant games they've played since college in many cases. And it's different. And the level of physical play, it's like a different sport. I always say about the NBA and the G League, they have this term, freedom of movement. You know, and that's, I think it leads to some really good basketball. In FIBA basketball, it's freedom to get your teeth knocked out, because when you come across the lane, it's like 90s NBA basketball. Anything goes. And so, it's just different. And I have such respect for our guys. But like going back to what you guys were asking, if we couldn't count on help in putting together rosters from some of these other people, other NBA teams, G League teams, then like there's no chance of qualifying.
Jeff Van Gundy with us on ESPN 97.5. I think it's a load of crap. You did all the heavy lifting, and now Greg Popovich is going to take over and get all the credit, right?
No, listen, my one fear in this whole thing about not qualifying, you don't know him, but there's a guy who runs USA Basketball. He's not the head of USA Basketball, but he's in charge of our team. His name is Sean Ford. He's an unbelievable leader. So I've known him for a long time. So I wanted to make sure he got qualified. But can you imagine if you're me and Greg Popovich has been named national team coach, and it names a staff of Steve Kerr, Nate McMillan, and Jay Wright, and then they have no place to play the games because you didn't get your team qualified? Come on, man. I think he would have killed me. He would have used that Russian background that he had, you know, in Russian intelligence or spy, and had me knocked off, and I wouldn't have blamed him.
That would have been hilarious. So he would have never, ever let you forget that.
No,
ever.
Think about that. Like, hey, I'm national team coach, but I've never gotten to coach a game because that knucklehead Van Gundy couldn't get us qualified. Yeah.
With his revolving door of players, does this scratch an itch for in terms of coaching, or was your daughter's the pack of rats or whatever, the crazy gnawing rats.
Gnawing rats, man. Yeah. So, you know, I've never lost the itch to coach. It's not been that at all. Like, I miss coaching. I always try to say, like, I miss, you know, the competition and the camaraderie of a team very much. And so I'm actually just very thankful to get to do this. I've learned so much through this whole process. I know as much about Nicolas Laprofittola, the point guard from Argentina, as I do NBA point guards now. Like, you know, you learn how good so many of these guys are. And, it's been a fascinating experience. You guys would appreciate this. So we're in Argentina, right? And we're in this little town, and we're going to play in this big, beautiful arena that they pack, right? And we're going to shoot around, and we can't go because protesters block our bus in, you know, and they weren't protesting us. I'm not really sure what they were protesting, if it was the G20 summit or the, certain things in their town. But it was just like, you're sitting there and you're thinking, man, this is unbelievable experience. Here we're getting ready to play a game, and we can't go practice because these people are upset. And it was very cool. I mean, the whole thing, the whole experience has been, like, so eye-opening. And I'm just grateful to have been a part of it.
Either that or was their fans just, you know, saying all that crap and just keeping you guys from practicing so that they would win?
Well, listen, I don't think so, because most of the protesters, I would say, were middle-aged women, and I don't think they were with our quest to be to qualify for the World Cup.
Let me ask you this. We brought up the craze-gnawing rats. Your older daughter, you used to go to the Texans with your older daughter. Are you still going? But this has taken up your time. What about your Texans winning 9 straight now?
Oh, no. Listen, of course we still go. Section 110, row N, seats 15 and 16. Now, my biggest complaint during this time was I missed the last 2 home games because of our travel. So we left out of the country the Sunday before the Monday night game. And then I missed Baker Mayfield. 3-pick fiasco on Sunday. But here's my crazy daughter. So she's there at both of them taking other people. And she's texting me because she went to Georgia. So we were at the Rose Bowl last year when Georgia came back to beat Baker Mayfield. And so no one dislikes Baker Mayfield more than this girl. And so she was like giving me these glorious updates about interceptions in the first half, and yeah, we're diehards. And think about what they've done. I mean, I know it's a record, but it's like they lose the first 3. The Colts make a decision whether you think it was right or wrong. It gives them a chance to win that first one, and from there, they've had so many close games and that they've figured out. And now, don't you guys think if they win this week, it'll be over?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is over. And, you know,
if they win this week,
yeah,
it's
I think
over?
They win the division.
Yeah, Tennessee can still tie them, but I don't know what the tiebreakers are.
Yeah, we'd have to see tiebreakers. Yeah. But, you know, John and I talked about this during during the Astros this year, and we referred to last year. You know, in baseball, 100, you have 162. There are all these mini seasons that take place where your third season, quote unquote, third season, and it happens in different phases, could be completely unrelated to where you were to start the season. And I know it happens in basketball in 82, but I mean, I think obviously it happens in football too, because if you ask Bill O'Brien what was going on in the first 4 or 5 games is probably substantially different in certain phases than the last 3 or 4 games, I would imagine.
Right. Well, you think about what he always says too. It's a league of progress, right? And I've used that now with my teams, and I think it's what goes to every sport. It is a league of progress. Every league is a league of progress, a league of improvement. And if you can't make improvement at a quicker rate than your opponents, then you're going to struggle as the season progresses. It's those teams that can, you know, and health has a part in that as well. But you have to be able to improve throughout the course of a season to have a chance. And I think, you know, their level of improvement, they're figuring out how to win close games. It's just been inspiring. And now, you know, I mean, the thing about when you win a lot, you can never be content. And that's the hard thing to convince athletes, that this thought of progress and improvement never can stop. It's got to just keep going throughout the course of the season.
All right, quickly, we know you got to go. The Texans' first quarter was 1-3. They were 1-3. It seems like the Rockets is the same. Where they are in the standings, where they are relative to the Western Conference, what this team is doing right now, what's going on with this basketball team?
Well, I thought last night was a little confounding. I thought they played an excellent first half, and then, you know, as Mike D'Antoni said afterwards, they didn't have that same energy in the second half. I mean, who would think a Rocket team would score 9 points in a fourth quarter? I think what it was in the second half, 29 or 30, I'm not sure exactly. But, you know, I still think they're a very good team. I do think, just like Philly last year, I think they'll be on the lookout for the bought-out players. I think they need to add more depth, more quality players. I think they're not as deep this year. You know, think about Philly last year. They were 25-25, and then they got Ilyasova and Bellinelli. in the buyout market, and then they went, and I think they went 27-5 the rest of the way. I think the Rockets are going to be poised to have to do the same thing, is find a couple pieces to bolster their quality of depth. And then if they can do that, and Paul and Harden are healthy, they'll have a chance against anybody.
Yeah, and that's going to be the tricky part, because it did this team over the in 3 years they've become a much slower paced team. They've really aged, and they play like an aged team so far this year. And I think it's going to be getting the easy baskets while they defend better. Clearly, over the last couple of years, they just don't. Right now, they're just not getting the easy scores, and they're more open to pratfalls that really can end their game. Where it used to be they could make up for a bad stretch, they just are not explosive enough right now to consistently make up. Or, you know, offensively or defensively, when they do score, they're struggling to get stops. So they just haven't put both sides together yet.
I also think the mental thing is a huge part. Like, I remember when we lost to the Rockets when I was with the Knicks in 94. The next year, we started with a very good team. We started, I think, 12-12. And the mental, you know, hangover from a disappointing end when you were so close. Like, I still don't think people realize the Rockets weren't one half away from getting to the NBA Finals. The Rockets were one half away from winning an NBA championship. And they would have wiped out Cleveland in the finals, just like Golden State did. And I think dealing with that disappointment subconsciously is very draining. To re-energize, to refocus, to find your way through the disappointment. And I think subconsciously it can sap your energy. And so I think what you'll see is I think the Rockets with Daryl and Gerson, they're going to add people. And then I think you're going to see an increase in energy as the season goes on. Because if they don't, they're going to get left behind in the Western Conference. I can't foresee them not qualifying, but they could easily not have home court advantage. And so I think you're going to see vast improvement as this month goes on and as the calendar year turns.
You know, it's interesting. I thought the Saints might have that same. When Marcus Williams had that disastrous play that let the Vikings win, I thought that might be a deflator that could leak into this year, and instead, they just upped their game
But Coach, I never get that energy thing. It's 82 games. You're making your unbelievable life.
I'm not making excuses because you're right. Like there shouldn't be that. There shouldn't be that. But the fact and the reality is, it's not any one individual. It's more a team collective malaise that you have to work your way through. And I think injuries had a huge impact on the start of the Rocket season. Paul being out, Harden missing a couple, and they don't have the same depth. I mean, that's just a fact. And they're going to have to work towards getting better quality players, more quality players. And I think, you know, you've seen Daryl do that in his whole time in Houston. I don't think that'll be a problem by the end of the season.
No. Trader Daryl will do something. We know that. Hey, we'll let you go. We know you got to bring your daughter to school. Thanks so much for hanging with us. Congratulations on qualifying, Coach.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. There's Jeff Van Gundy right here on ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.